Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So we're back again with Nate. Hello, Nate.
Hey, Rob.
Hey. And today we're talking about expectations. So would you like to take it away?
I brought this subject to Rob earlier this week. And before we hit record, I told him, I said, he said, you know, kind of how's your day or whatever, you know, what's you been up to? And I said, well, this subject has kind of morphed into a lot of different facets. Mm-hmm. And initially it was just what it spurred from was there were definitely things going on in my life that I couldn't see progressing in a positive way, or I wasn't getting out of them what I thought I should be, or out of others. And divine intervention clicked in my head of, what are your expectations from this? And I started kind of looking into that, and one of the first things I read was I think it was in Psychology Today or whatever, and it basically said, you know, I think I've got the quote, the higher your expectations are, you raise your expectations basically if you want improvement, and lower your expectations if you want contentment. And that started just kind of snowballing into, okay, how do you use that, or where do you use that? Uh-huh. And do you, you know, it's a lot harder to lower your expectations once you've set them in your head, because that's where I went. Yeah. Was, okay, I'm not getting what I need out of this relationship, this situation, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. So rather than have a stroke, which was going to be my next option.
Or like punch the person in the face with another person.
My desk got punched a couple times this week, believe me. So yeah. It was just like, okay, this hasn't changed. You've done the things you feel are right and according to what needs to be done. You think you've done what you are supposed to, or at least in my eyes, which granted can be swayed and clouded. But it was just like, okay, do I lower my expectations so I don't have to feel like this anymore?
And that's tough. Like,
oh,
like I would feel like the first thing when you say that is the feeling of failure.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if you lower expectations, you're, in a sense, you're admitting that what you had thought would happen or wanted to happen isn't going to happen, and now you have to accept less.
Yes.
And you wonder whether is it an acceptance of less because I was inferior to make it happen, or is it an acceptance of less because my original expectation wasn't actually the best one. Like,
yeah,
like when we started towards a goal and said, oh, okay, wait, hold on, that isn't maybe what I wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's very true. So there's definitely some things I think would be fun to hit on, but I don't want to, like, take it away from you.
No, but that's again, where my head went. And like I said, I hate to use the term unpack because I hear everybody say that, let's unpack this. But just like I have the more, because there were certain things that I was like, just lower your expectations. I was like, that'll be it. And you won't have to feel like this anymore. And it's the act of actually doing that. And there's a lot that comes along with that. I mean, there's, you know, again, all of the ideas of less of you. And if you do lower your expectations of a situation or somebody or whatever, that's what you're going to get from them. Most of the time is you're not going to get any more than what you expect, you know, or the lowest level that you will accept, I should say.
Yes.
And that's...
Yeah. And there's... Yeah. So that's, to me, is like being in business and being in like a service business.
Sure.
Like, obviously, this whole podcast is based around health and fitness, so we'll touch on in the gym stuff. But also, I like talking about life stuff. Usually everything that you do in the gym has a way to translate to life. Mm-hmm. And we spend 23 hours of the day in life than we do in the gym, you know, compared to 1 hour. So I think it's good to talk about life stuff too.
Yeah.
And for me, is dealing with people is, I've talked with a lot of clients over the years and just a lot of people over the years, and saying how they're just always disappointed in others. And I find it interesting because, it's more universal than what I would think that there are people to disappoint each other in, if that makes sense. It's like you talk to 10 people and they're all disappointed, and I'm like, well, then you're just starting to get disappointed in each other. Like, clearly there's something missing.
Yeah.
And there was actually a psychologist, I can't remember his name, hopefully I will later, but I was listening to a podcast a YouTube video about him, and he was talking about relationships, mm-hmm. and saying how it didn't have to be just romantic relationships, but how often part of the frustration of our expectations comes from the fact the other person doesn't know what we're expecting.
We kind of hit on that the other day.
Yes, yeah. Like we don't bother telling them, like, hey, I would like this, this, and this from you.
Yeah.
This is what I'm willing to give, because it has to be a give and take. But they don't often know. Like, they have no clue that they're disappointing us. They have no clue they're frustrating us.
Hard to hit the target then.
Yeah, so it's hard for them to know. Like we're sitting here waiting, like, why won't they ever change? And they have no clue that there's something to change.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big thing for me was learning in business, is if I get frustrated with somebody, are they aware of it? Do they know? So, like, a real quick example is sometimes I've been told already, by the way, that some people have listened to the podcast and realized that they are the people I talk about sometimes. So if this person's listening, hopefully, we never said names, but they'll know based on the description. But we have jump boxes in the gym, and they're very expensive. So big, like, boxes of foam covered in, like, I don't know, some type of like
protective vinyl,
material. And there's a member of the gym who, they're heavy and annoying, so they'll just drag them across the gym. And I'm like, oh, no, because it's going to, like, wear out that vinyl.
Yeah.
So I asked them the other day, like, and this is me after being, like, every time they do it, I'll be like, damn it anyhow, don't they understand how expensive these are? Da-da-da-da-da. And then I realized one day, I'm like, you never did tell them not to. And I was like, you moron, like, to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're an idiot. You're sitting here getting mad at them, and they have no clue. Now, I would assume it's common sense. Don't drag vinyl.
How common is common sense?
Yeah, it's not common. So, yeah. And then also, they're not the one who paid, you know, $2,000-some-odd for those boxes. So it's not as significant to them.
That they don't make anymore.
Yeah. Yes. You're right. So they're not replaceable.
Yeah.
So I went and told the person. I said, hey, if you don't mind, can you carry those? I know they're frustrating, but it just saves the material. And they reply, go, oh, yeah, sure. And then they've now been carrying them. I'm like, why was I so mad for, like, weeks and weeks and weeks when I could have just made
it? You just described pretty much about 95% of my life. Truly.
But that's something I think is a good area to go for. It's like in areas of your life that you're frustrated, especially ones that involve other people, is you talked about, like, do you lower your expectations? Like, do I just accept the fact that the boxes are going to get damaged? No, I'm not good at that, so I'm not going to decide that.
Right.
Now, if I had told him, and here's an example, I'm going to make it short, hopefully, is when we first opened, I liked all the dumbbells being numbers up. So that way, in case somebody was grabbing like a 55 or a 60-pound dumbbell, they didn't accidentally grab one of each, then start moving, and all of a sudden maybe like get injured. Now, that is a really unlikely way to get injured, but it does happen every now and then. So when we first opened, I got really mad if people didn't put the dumbbells back with the numbers up. Well, that turned out to be something that was not controllable. So the jump boxes I can control because it's not many people. Everyone uses the dumbbells that comes in the gym, and everyone doesn't understand or doesn't have that quote-unquote common sense that dumbbells need to face up. So that was a battle I lost. I remember telling my parents that I need to either decide that that's not going to probably happen. As long as the dumbbells are in, like, the 20s are next to, like, each other.
Sure.
15s are next to each other. We don't have scattered. They're always in order.
Yeah.
But they don't always have to have numbers up. And I realized that I was either going to have a heart attack, flip out on everybody, and kick everybody out and close the gym over the numbers on the dumbbells. Or I was going to have to accept that.
Yeah.
So that's something I had to learn to accept.
Lower your expectations.
Yeah, to lower expectations.
Yeah. I worked my daughter out at South Point yesterday after she's a wrestler and a cheerleader, so cheer practice is on after wrestling right now, and then we work out. So so we were in the gym, and I walked in there, and I'm not kidding. It was like I could feel my eye twitching. It was a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, and it would be the 2.5s were behind the 25s, and, you know, stuff that will just do you. Again, and not to bash on that school, because they have an amazing gym, and they let us lift there, so I really appreciate it, but
Somebody please make
these kids understand this is not how this works.
So, and it's true, the kids won't do it unless a parent teaches them why it matters.
This leads into another expectation thing for me. Yes. Just as we're talking about this, is you said, you know, the kid won't if the parent doesn't. And I have an expectation in my house that closets are shut, drawers don't have stuff hanging out of them. I'm battling with this conversation and through the week of, like, all right, your daughter's 14. She does it, I would say, 90% of the time. It's that 10% that I'm just like, you know, so it's like, okay, do I let that go? Do I lower my expectation on this thing just because all it does is frustrate me?
Yeah.
But to me, and again, I'm still back and forth on this. It's 14 years of, you know, pushing this into her and 10 years into my son of, okay, this is the expectation. Okay, but it's not a matter of control. It's not a matter even of neatness and how it makes the house present better to anybody who walks in. It's just a matter of attention to detail. And that's such a little
character.
Yeah, just do that. Mm-hmm. And that carries, you know, it's again, I make my bed every morning.
There you go.
Every single morning. And we actually went through this at church last year sometime in a small group. And I'm not kidding. People looked at Amanda and I, my wife, like we had two heads. Because we said we made her bed every morning. They're like, what?
That starts the day with
success. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, anyway, so that's an expectation. But anyway, so yes, you can see where my head has been all week. It's just like, again, I brought the idea of lowering expectation up as a help or a fix to some things I was dealing with. And it made me look at so many other things waiting for this podcast today that I'm like, holy hell, what have I done to myself?
No, it's the parental part is like my parents, you know, like everybody makes mistakes. So I'm not saying they're perfect, but they never asked my brother and I to do anything that they didn't already do.
Yeah.
So like if you were to walk into their room, everything was perfect. The closets were shut. Everything was shut.
Yeah.
I don't like when we like anything in the kitchen, they would grab the, you know, a plate out of a drawer, like, or like a cabinet, you always had to close that.
Yeah.
But it was something where, like, as I've gotten older, what I've recognized, especially in like business when financial parts are kind of involved, is no one cares what you meant to do. You meant to do means nothing.
That's really good.
You did actually do. No one cares why you didn't get something done.
Yeah,
it intention. Just matters whether you get it done. Yeah. So what I learned from my parents was, you know, like we would be sitting in the, like say I was sitting in the living room and my mom would be like, oh, you left the kitchen light on. And I'm like, you just left the kitchen. Why didn't you turn it off? And she'd be like, it's you. You left it on. You turn it off. And it was learning that responsibility, like to where you don't expect others to clean up after you. You don't like shirk your responsibilities onto other people or society.
Yeah.
It was just like you're responsible for every single thing that you do or don't do.
Right.
And it's not even like the excuse or the meaning or the intent. It's did you do it? Yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, well, I didn't do it, but it was because it doesn't. No one gives a shit.
Yeah.
No one cares.
That excuse.
No one cares.
Falls on deaf ears to everyone because, again, it's still not done.
It's still not done.
I've said that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
All that means not.
Yep. And I've told that to clients. Like, I'm a total a-hole, but like a client, I'll tell them, I'm like, say, for example, I had a lady, and sorry if you're listening to this, but she was, when we were doing chest presses, the front of her right shoulder was kind of bugging her. And we had gone over proper form and stuff, but it was just, we only trained twice a week, and she was newer to lifting, so she didn't really have a lot of strength built up in that shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I gave her like a banded exercise to do with small orange bands. And it was a kind of like she had to brace her shoulder in a good stable position and then do a front raise.
Right.
And if she could do like a set of like work up to 30 reps, and I told her if you can do that once in the morning, once in the evening, it doesn't seem like much, but we only meet twice a week. So if there's 5 days in between us meeting and you all of a sudden get, you know, like 1,500 reps of this thing in, that's going to be pretty significant.
Yeah.
So we started talking about like how small things will build up. And so then we met the next time and I said, you know, hey, how'd that band thing go? Want to get it done. We got really busy. And then she went through this whole long list. And in the middle of her talking, I said, you can stop now. And she looked really, because I cut her off. I said, none of that matters. I said, you were never too busy to not do 30 reps of an orange band exercise.
Yeah.
I said, just get it this week. If you don't get it this week, I don't care anymore. It's on you.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, next thing we got, da, da, da. And she was just like, oh, my God. So, but it was like, there was no reason that I would have felt, and then the other, like, so first of all, there's no reason that I would have accepted that she couldn't have done 30 reps of an orange band exercise. It takes 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Then also, whether I accept it or whoever she gives her excuses to accepts it and gives her permission that it's okay, your body still didn't get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So if she had told me all that, and I said, oh, that's really reasonable. Doesn't matter. Her arm didn't get stronger. Like, no, it doesn't matter if our excuses are even legitimate.
Yeah.
So it's hilarious that people give excuses, myself included, because they don't matter. Like, who cares why you didn't do it?
Yeah.
It just didn't get done.
Yeah. And that's, I find that in my work is, they're, there has to be an explanation behind I didn't do it. And yeah. I'm like, just, yeah, I don't care what your motivation was or lack of motivation or whatever. Yeah, yeah, just, you know, again.
Yeah. Now, if there was a reason why, like I couldn't do it because I didn't know how it was done or sure. how to do it, that's different.
Yeah.
We're talking about, like, the bullshit kind of excuses that people give and when they really could have done it.
About 100% of them.
Yeah. And we do the same, so yeah. myself
oh,
included.
Yeah,
but,
I'm not terrible.
But, yeah,
away
but no, that
me.
Is something I think that's... getting back to like the expectations is like in regards to excuses is you can't say I want X to happen and then give all the excuses why you're not doing the work for it and then still have X happen.
Yeah.
If you're not doing the work, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
So your expectation has to be is I only get the results of the work I put in.
Yeah.
And understanding that in life, in all areas of life, like relationship wise, you know, body wise, nutrition wise, you only get the results for the work you do, not the excuses you make.
I had that come to Jesus moment with my daughter, I think 2 weeks ago. She got a shoulder issue, a hyper mobility, and it's kind of come in and out, and it basically took her out of a wrestling season. She's done all the conditioning and everything, every practice throughout the season, but we've taken her out of any live wrestling just because we're really trying to focus on getting that shoulder healthy.
Yeah.
And it just came to pass that I would ask every day because she's got the banded exercises. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, we've been to the ortho doc. We've been to physical therapy, which was pretty much everything we were already doing.
Yeah,
but it was consistently. Yeah. So, yeah. But anyway, and finally, I picked her up from wrestling practice, and she basically had sat and watched and done nothing for the last 30 minutes of practice, and she had been doing that. Like, she would do her shoulder exercises before with the trainer, do all the conditioning with the team, and then just sit and watch for the last 30 to 40 minutes of practice. And I finally just said, I just told her, I said, you know, you want X, Y, and Z, and you verbalize this, but you're doing nothing to achieve that. I was like, so you expect this, but won't do what it takes to get there. And I broke it down for her. And I mean, again, I can be not a nice guy.
It's tough
love. I got her in tears, you know, in the parking lot of getting ready to go into the Dollar General to get something for a project she had. And I just said, listen, I'm done. You won't do the things you love. You won't be able to cheer because you can't get in anybody. You can't press overhead. You won't wrestle because you won't throw shot and disc because of this. I was like, that's where you're at. I was like, so it's on you. I was like, so my expectation is that I've given you every opportunity and I continue to do so to get better.
Yeah.
You've got to take and make the best of that. I said, and finally, I mean, and again, whether I beat it out of her, you know, she was just like, you're right. And so since then, if there's a day after, she'll text me, hey, I've got time.
Awesome.
I'm done. Can you come out here and meet me to work out? And so
that's cool.
That's another thing about expectations. It's just like, you know, and you see this, I'm sure, with so many clients, is you can see what they can be so much more than what they... We have these expectations based on our reality for that person.
Seeing what the best of them could be. And you're just like...
And they can't set that expectation.
It's like, you could be so awesome. Why aren't you doing this?
Yeah. And I mean, again, we're all, you know...
Yeah, we all make mistakes, but...
Just, you know, that's another thing that I've dealt with this week is, okay, where do I place these expectations? Not just in work environment, but in family, you know? It's just like, okay... Are my expectations unrealistic for this person? You know.
Yeah, and that's. I think it's. You're probably always going to battle with that a little bit because sometimes to push someone you love means you do have to get them to crying. You have to get them to comfortable.
Yeah.
But like what I think of it is like, well, look at this: a parent first, then ourselves second. But as a parent is. It is awesome for them to learn this life lesson when it comes to, oh, you just won't be able to do wrestling. You won't be able to do track. What happens when you're an adult and it's like, oh, you're going to lose your car. You're going to go bankrupt. You're going to lose your job. Mm. Like, these are the same things you got to learn in small things.
Yeah.
So then that way, the big things, you don't make mistakes. Mm. So even when we look at our own life, is if I can't get my training, if I can't be disciplined in training, or if I can't be disciplined in nutrition, how am I going to be disciplined with big things in life, balancing my checkbook?
Yeah.
You know, even like relationship stuff. Like, maybe I'm not really good at, adhering to a training program. And also I know in my like relationship, say like a husband and wife are having trouble. Well, the same kind of work that you'd have to put into communication is uncomfortable. You know, you have to schedule time for it. You have to actually make the actions towards it and say, okay, I want to save this marriage. I want to have a conversation on this stuff. Yeah. I want to talk about this. Oh, but it's uncomfortable. It's just people have that same conversation about training. Like, I don't feel like doing training. Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter if you feel like it. You want the results. You want health. Got to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's like learning, like, if you can learn how to handle small things, it teaches you how to be disciplined with big things.
That's great. Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, back to her, my daughter, for a second. We were at the ortho this most recent time, and her response was, well, she may just have to look at doing other things. And I was like, no.
No.
I was like, I could tell this lady, I mean, even though they're kind of sports oriented, this lady wasn't, you know, that I could tell. And I was just like, okay. And then on the flip side of that, the trainer at the high school who, you know, is definitely been a help to my daughter to help her go through her, you know, her rehab and stuff. And, in, you know, work with her. Mm-hmm. But after she went to the ortho, she was like, you just need to have surgery and get that fixed.
No.
And I was like, what? You're 14? No. Anyway, that's an aside, but I'm just like, you just don't want to have to deal with continuing to help this girl get better. I was like, you know what the rehab after surgery is compared to you've got a healthy shoulder that you can...
14. Anyway,
14.
Why would you cut up a 14?
Anyway.
That shows like that lady's expectations. Like,
yeah.
In a sense of like, I don't know anything about this lady, but let's just take it as a general thing, is what she's encountered in her life and maybe the challenges she's had to overcome. Everybody has challenges.
Sure.
But maybe she learned that, like, you know, like certain answers would just be, yeah, get the surgery. Like, make it easy.
Yeah.
You know, like, for example, you'd said, like, if you're trying to push your daughter to be perfect at something and she's only 90%, that would be, like, the mindset of, oh, well, 90% is good enough.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're doing some work, but it doesn't look like it's working. Let's just do surgery.
Yeah.
No, let's fully exhaust this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, let's get to 100% before we make,
yes,
you know, big, like, concessions.
Yeah, agreed.
So, yeah.
Agreed. So, one thing that we had done in the past, and I mean, I think everybody understands this, but I usually read the definition of kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And I just, there was a couple of different definitions for expectation. The one that really made the sense for me is a belief that someone will or should achieve something. So, I mean, that's, you know, I just wanted to bring that out there because I meant to do it in the beginning. But, I mean, that's it, is what this boils down to, is that it's making that decision of, okay, you know, I believe this interaction should go this way. This is my expectation of it. And if it doesn't, and again, we all kind of work, whether it's our work life or, you know, spiritual life or family life, whatever it may be, we do things repetitively.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the expectation comes from, is because, all right, this is what our past experience with this is. This is the way it's worked. Again, do we want this to get better? So we have that expectation, or are we content with it being as it is, or we don't really have enough invested in it or care about it enough that our expectations are for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, like we had alluded to it, like a little bit with expectations in terms of, like thinking things in the gym, is if somebody comes in the gym and like their goal of the gym is a little bit of community, they get to talk to people, they get social interaction, they want to get a little healthier, but they're more so just like, I hate my job or I'm secluded all day at work, so I want to go to a place where I get to talk to people, I get to move some things around, but it's just kind of more of a fun experience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's one set of expectations. And then you have somebody like me in the corner who's looking over there going, why the hell isn't that person doing anything? And my expectations of working out are, screw everyone. I want to be perfect at what I'm doing. I'll be antisocial and like headphones in, and I'm like hyper-focused on it.
Yeah.
Now, neither person is right or wrong. Like, for the expectations I have of trying to be my best, I have to put in my best.
Yeah.
For that person, their expectations of what they're going to get from the training, so. They don't really expect much because they know they're not putting in a lot of work towards the actual exercise, and they're getting the social experience.
Sure.
Now, the disconnect becomes when the person who comes in and talks to everybody for 40 minutes also says, oh, I want to be, you know, I want to achieve this, I want to do this. Like, I want a 315 bench press. It's like, yeah, well, you just stood around talking for 20 minutes in between every set. Like, how the hell do you think that's going to happen? So I think that's a big, like we'll see, and I know you know this too, is people say one thing in the gym and then they do the actions of something else. And then we have that in our life as well.
Yeah.
So it's like finding out like our, what are our expectations and what is our effort? So is our effort matching our expectations?
It's surprising. Well, I don't know. One side of me saying it is surprising, the other saying no, it isn't. You know exactly how it goes. Is that people delude themselves with what they think are, you know, this is what they say they want, but they never put any action towards it. And again, I'm pointing a finger at myself there. It's just like, okay, you know, you, whatever the situation may be, you want something, but, and this is what you expect to get out of it, but you're not willing to do anything to, and I mean, I'm, gosh, it's a realization for me sitting here
We all are.
Just that, where you're like, wow, okay. You know, quoting my father and his wisdom is, and I'm sure somebody else has said this, but this is how I know it from him.
Yeah.
But it's want in one hand and shit in the other to see which one fills up faster.
Yeah.
You know, and so I find myself in that situation a lot is, you know, you can want, and I guess it goes along with the expectation, but if you don't put anything behind it, you know. Yeah.
And I think two things I try to get clients to pay attention to is, and myself, and the reason why I tell them this is because I learned it, is when I first started lifting weights, there was no shortage of want and desire. Like, I trained every single day, and I remember I would lift, I would challenge myself, or I remember, like, I'd several times do a bar, but, like, I had an easy curl bar when I was, like, 16, and I had just enough plates to kind of kick my own butt, but I would do curls until I couldn't hold on to the bar. And I would challenge myself. I'm like, I'm going to do, however many, 1,000 curls, doesn't matter. I'm just going to curl until my hands can't hold the bar. And I've done that several times in my life. And but so there was no shortage of want. Like, I wanted big arms.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was willing to work.
Yeah.
The problem was I wasn't educated.
Yeah.
I thought doing the repetitions of a curl made the muscle bigger.
Yeah.
I didn't know food was involved. I had no clue that food was important.
Yeah.
So what I tell clients is if you feel, if you believe that you have the want necessary for the expectations, but you're not getting the results, then education is probably your missing link.
Yeah.
You probably are doing the wrong thing. So you have, you're doing a ton, but you're doing the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
So education is the difference there. So if you feel like you're working super duper hard, but you're not getting anything for it, look at your education. Now, the other part is if you know what you're supposed to be doing, but you're just not doing it, then you have to work on discipline.
Mm.
So in working on like being adherence to like behaviors.
Right.
And then I've talked about this in past podcasts where like I'll do that smiley face chart where if somebody does, and we do it for meals, we can do it for even habits, is you would say like, okay, what are five things I should do every day? And you would put a smiley face next to it if you did it, a frowny face if you didn't. And then what you would do is go throughout the week and see, okay, I got, you know, maybe I'm supposed to have 35 smiley faces and I only have 28 this week.
Yeah.
Well, can I get to 29 next week? And building up your adherence in that way. To where you show yourself whether you're accountable or not. Like, people always say they're doing things right. Bullshit.
Yeah.
So, myself included. If we were to chart it, all of a sudden we see, oh, crap. Like, I'm missing this. I'm missing this.
Yeah.
So, I think that's the thing. Is if you know, if you have the education, but you don't have the results, then you're probably missing the discipline. If you have all the discipline in the world, but you're not getting the results, then education is probably what you're missing. So,
that's
those
good.
Are things. So, yeah, I always look at myself is, I'm always learning something new. So that way I don't hold back on the miss out on the education. And then I'm also always trying to pay attention to my adherence. So I track things on my phones. I have so many notes on my phone about like training stuff and this and that and body parts I want to hit every week and like whether I'm doing certain things every month. But I do all that because I know watching all of my clients, like I've worked over 1,000 people, had over 500, 600 students at Winthrop, is that's what separates it. They're either working really hard at the wrong stuff, or they're not working hard when they know what the right stuff is.
Mm.
So if I see, you know, 1,500, 2,000 people make that mistake, I don't want to make that mistake.
What's, all right, and again,
oh, this is just, fun. You're smiling. That's going to be a good question.
No, what is the better of those two situations?
Well, they have the work ethic.
So if they've got the, you know, because I think of a kid here in the gym, and dude, he's works out like nobody I've ever seen the amount of time. And I'm just, you know, I've heard some of the things that he said, and I'm like, that's not right.
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
The education is not there. Like, he feels he's educated.
Yeah.
And there are some results, but could there be way more results? Yes. And for the amount of work the person's putting in. But the problem is with that person is they don't see that there's anything missing.
Yeah.
They see that they believe they're working hard. They believe they're educated. They believe they're getting some results. But when you're outside looking at it, and you look at, you hear the education part, you're like, oh, you don't really know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And if you could fix that, holy crap, with the work ethic you have, you'd have way better results. But they don't see it. They see the sum results as progress.
Well, and that's,
they could have way more progress.
If you think about it, and this is a quote, I'm quoting everybody today, but my wife, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, you don't know what you don't know until you know that you don't know it. Yeah, that's one of my favorite quotes.
Yes. So, yeah. And, you know, so, and if you are young and getting results, I can use examples of myself. And again, we're kind of getting off topic a little bit,
but that's like good topic,
I used to work out like a crazy person. Mm-hmm. The amount of hours, and I think I've used this on this, on the podcast before, is we would do legs, me and then my two workout partners, for 2.5 hours, do 20 sets of squats. Yeah. And then we would get to the road that I lived on, Wasson Road. And two people would sit in the car, and one person, it was my buddy Mike's escort, the other one would push it for a quarter mile at a time.
That is
neutral.
Awesome.
That was, you know, I'm like, why am I not growing?
Yeah, because I have loved to just, like, harness that much work ethic and kept that for the rest of my life.
Me too. In Lord, other areas. If I could have that now. And the thing that's so funny now is that I think I'm teetering on trying to figure out that balance is, all right, do I know it all? By no means do I know it all.
Yeah, we're always learning.
But. And I probably have forgotten stuff, because every once in a while stuff will pop up. I'm like, man, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, like,
I
used to know that.
Let me try to do that again. That actually worked. Yeah. And but it's the time and the effort in there and to be able to recover and all that different stuff to try to make that balance. Anyway, it's
that's amazing. Yeah. So it's but that would be, if in life it's easier to educate yourself than it is to be disciplined.
Yeah.
If you lack discipline. So if I got to pick, I would much rather work with people who have all the desire and work in the world, like work ethic in the world, and they're just frustrated because they're not seeing it. And I'm going, well, here's the missing link.
Mm.
Do this instead of this. And then, bam, the doors open up and great.
Yeah.
The most frustrating part as a trainer is when you say to somebody, here's what you need to do. This is it. Here's the golden pass.
Yeah.
Here's everything you need. And then you say, oh, how's it going? Well, I'm not doing it. It's like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why are you not doing it? Like, yeah, so that's the part that's so frustrating is whenever you're, like, they express the results they want, you tell them this is how they'll get there.
Yeah.
Then they just don't do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, damn it. Like it's, as a trainer,
there goes
our
your
job,
expectation of, hey, I've,
And it's also like, as a trainer, like what I've learned over the years was when I first became a trainer, I was really naive, and I thought my job was to educate people, to fill in that gap. So they tell me what they want. I tell them how to do it, and then they do it. But what I found out now is they tell me what they want. I tell them how to do it, and then I have to tell them how to do it.
Yeah.
Like, this is what you need to do, then this is how I need you to start being able to do it.
Yeah.
So I've turned into more of a therapist than I am a trainer.
Yeah.
And that part is a reluctant acceptance of my job. It's not what I like doing. But
so
I understand
lowered
it's
your
necessary.
Expectation.
Well, I've doubled my work.
Yeah.
So I've now an educator of what it takes for them to get there.
Yeah.
And then now I have to be a motivator. And I don't like doing that. I'm not naturally a very motivated person. Mm. So I do motivational posts and podcasts and stuff. But underlyingly in my mind, like what everyone would be,
hey,
is
just do this.
Yeah, just do the stupid stuff you're supposed to just freaking do. Like, like I just get so angry because the reason why I get frustrated and anger is my response is because you had said is you see what the person is capable of.
Yeah.
And it's like if you would just wake the hell up.
Yeah.
And just do this stuff. It's not like you're asking them to fast for 40 days in a row or, you know, work out 10 hours. It's just do 30 minutes of something productive.
Yeah.
Rather than going and sitting on the couch for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And it's when you see it being that small of a difference between them being happy.
Yeah.
It frustrates you that like, man, that's all it takes. It's just 30 minutes a day and you could be happy and you're not doing it. What
the
hell?
Right where I was with my daughter a couple of weeks ago. It was just like, and I mean, within a few syllables of exactly what I said, I was like, I see what you can be. You know, and I mean, man, it's limitless is what I'm looking for. And I was just like, so you know, and I've said this to so many people. And I know I've said it to you and I've said it to so many other trainers. It was just like getting somebody to flip that switch and they've got to flip it themselves of, hey, I'm done just doing okay. You know, mm-hmm. and again, we all have that, but you got to have those times where you go, okay, flip it over and make this go.
Yeah, like I've had those moments in my life, and then I've seen it with clients where they'll get a blood test back, and all of a sudden they're diabetic, and they never were before, you know, or like high blood pressure, maybe that motivates them. You know, if somebody like maybe a death of a friend or somebody in the family, all of a sudden that motivates them. Like I have a client now, they had a friend pass away at a very young age, and they're like, they said their realization was, is them and the friend had always talked about someday this, someday mm. that, someday this, someday that. And then they realized, oh, crap, like they're, that person, my friend, no longer has a someday.
Yeah.
So everything my friend wanted for their life, they're never going to get.
Yeah.
And they said the realization came for them was, I hope I don't die with that same gap. Like, I hope when I die, I worked or at least tried for everything I wanted. And I said, awesome, let's get to work. And that was their motivator. But it took the death of someone in their life, a good friend, to flip that switch.
Yeah.
It would be awesome if we could just flip it with a lot less weight of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I think part of that is just doing daily habits, small stuff. Like, we've talked about this out the wazoo, but yeah. is a lot of people think flipping that switch means you have to go 0 to 60. No. Yeah. You have to go 1 mile an hour before you can go 60 mile an hour. Yeah. So just doing one small thing a day and making that, like I've talked about changing sleep. Like if I get up at 7 and I want to start getting up at 6, I don't have to switch from 7 to 6. I can just start getting up at 6:45.
Yeah.
Do that for 2 weeks. Then 6:30 for 2 weeks. Then 6:15 for 2 weeks. It's much easier.
Yeah.
People don't like doing that process because there's pros and cons and there's feelings of whether it's even worth the effort at that small steps.
Yeah.
But it's how you get to the big step. If you just try to take a big leap, 9 times out of 10, we're going to fall on our face because we're not conditioned for that leap yet.
Yeah.
So, like, we say, okay, I am this person now. I would like to be this person later. You don't have the ability to just morph. You've got to learn skills. You've got to learn behaviors.
That's the work.
There's a process to become that person.
Yeah.
You can't just decide today to become that person. And a lot of people think there's that decision, and they're like, well, I'm just going to do this tomorrow. Okay, well, why weren't you doing it already today if you already had the skill? If you currently have the skill already, that would be very rare. So usually you have to build the discipline, build the skill, build the knowledge. There's going to be a process of developing into the new person if you want new results. Yeah.
Yeah, that's lots.
Yeah.
So one of the things I like to do on these is I look up little quotes and stuff and what mm-hmm. people have said about expectations. And a couple that I found, the first one is a guy, Bill Watterson, says, I find my life a lot easier the lower I keep my expectations. And I read that and I thought, that's
a tough thing to accept.
Yeah.
I think you and I are so type, yeah. I don't know if it's type A, but we want everything.
Well, yeah. Like we touched on a little bit earlier, is you're going to get out of somebody what you expect from them. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, you can probably name a few times, and I'm sure I can as well. But most of the time, if you don't put any expectations on somebody, they're not going to deliver, or they're not going to go above and beyond anything. Because most people, and I mean, I'm there too, is if mm-hmm. Only thing is expected for me to do is to move from point A to point B. That's probably what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Now, could I have ran all the way to C? Yeah, I probably could have, but nobody's expecting that of me, so I don't do that. And so the idea that if you just keep your expectations low, it seems like you're missing out on a lot of the joy of life.
Yeah, it seems defeating. It seems like you're accepting a lesser existence. Like, I don't. It,
yeah.
Like, when you hear that phrase, to me, it just rubs me raw. Like, it does
That's
not feel good to hear that. Like, there's just something inside me that says,
no. You're pessimistic. You're looking for the opportunity for everybody. Well, I guess you're not. You're not looking for anybody to disappoint you. You're already disappointed.
Yeah.
Or you're not because you don't even expect it.
Well, you live in such this low. Like, you and I talked about this. Like, you're trying to develop your kids. Like, I've had jobs before where I was in charge of people and had to develop, like the way they did their work.
Right.
And sometimes it was trainer, sometimes it was other things, like depending on what the job was. But the exact thing about the expectations is I was in charge of making them better. Therefore, I had to tell them what the standard is.
Yeah.
So I would have to set a standard above them, like where they currently are, to get them to become better.
Mm.
So that would be setting the expectations, letting them know what their expectations were, and putting it above, like an attainable level above.
Yeah.
If I just told them where they're at now is good enough, no one would have gotten better at their job.
Yeah.
And it's not like you would say, like, you know, let, you know, good people are always going to rise, da da da. I will tell you, I'll be the first one to tell you, is if I don't have anything to do at the gym until like 9 a.m., I'm probably not going to get up till 8 a.m. because I hate getting up early sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to sleep in certain days. It's just like the idea of we rise to the level of our challenges.
Sure.
So in the sense to where, like, I'll push myself every now and then without having any reason to, just because for some reason, you know, I felt like doing it. But would I push myself harder if every single day there was a harder challenge? Yes. Yeah. So I'm that way. Everybody's that
way. Yeah, my company, we went through a merger a year ago last October. And it's an environment that I have never worked in, is that the program that I work in, the software product that I work in, that we've developed, at the very top right-hand corner shows my goal and what percentage of it that I'm at.
Ooh.
I've never had that before. And I can tell you, I'm still not sure how I feel about it, because I'll look up there and I'm just like, I'm killing it. You know, I'm doing way more than what that says. You know, that's not reality. They don't have any idea all of I'm doing just to stay at that. And then there's other times you're like, man, I'm really kind of slacking and my numbers are showing it.
Yeah.
So anyway, there has been an expectation put on me where I've never had to deal with that before in this work that I do right now. And I mean, I always, I'm using air quotes, always delivered, because, you know, I pride myself in doing a good job and being a good employee and you know, earning what my salary is. You know, I don't want to be the guy who's skating by and they're just like, ah, he's always on the edge. I don't, you know, I wasn't raised that way. Would never be that. But to have these expectations that I see now, it's a whole different ballgame in your head.
Also a whole thing to unpack that we don't have time for, but is, are you being, is the expectations placed on you a direct representative of your work?
Yeah.
So, for example, as they may say, you know, you're only 70% productive right now.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, but you don't see me doing this.
Yeah.
And they're going, and they might never know.
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden they'd be like, oh, okay, well, I guess you're 80%. Sometimes we see things like in business, for example, the bottom line is finances, is money.
Yeah.
So is, I kind of measure Brutal Iron Gym in two markers. Is number one is money, because that way I can stay in business. Number two is the amount of people that we make a difference to in the world.
Mm.
And if one of them is growing but the other one isn't, that's kind of a negative for me, and I have to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
And in the sense of, like, even if the gym went from helping, say, 1,000 people to 10,000, but my income didn't go up, that's awesome. I'm helping, you know, 10,000 people, but where's the disconnect between why the income wouldn't have went up? It's not that I would be so unhappy with the 10,000 that I'm not getting more money, but it shows bad business owner. Like, if I'm helping more people, I should make more money.
Sure.
And that's kind of the idea. Now, likewise, if I double my money but I don't double my outreach, that's not good, because I'm either bleeding the people I have dry, or you're just not making a difference in the world, which is what this gym is for.
Mm.
So I'd much rather have the 10,000 more people and less money, but I still got to make money and pay bills.
Yeah.
But it's that idea of making markers directed where you want to go. So your expectation, it's kind of like the goal that you set, the marker that you set is where you go to. So if I set my marker at helping more people, all of my actions lead to that.
Mm.
If I set my marker at make more money, all of my actions lead to that.
True.
And those are going to be conflicting things sometimes. So, like, for example, as your work might have given you this percentage, but I wonder if they know the path that you're getting there. Like, if all of your work is being accounted to that, or if it's a marker that isn't even a representative of what you need to be doing or should be doing.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
That's a conversation, obviously, that...
We'll have to make a separate podcast someday about, like, markers or, like, goals. Like, in the terms of, like, trying to set one specific to what you really want.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, so when we're breaking this down, you know, basically what this comes down to is making the decision of if you are going to look for improvement or are you going to accept where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every individual has to weigh that out. You know, I don't know if we're answering anybody's questions here. It's just, like I said, things we're looking at. But when do you make that decision of, you know, and how do you weigh that out? So what questions do you ask yourself of, okay, I've done, you know, these things to get to where I want it to be. It's not there. Do I continue to keep this at the same level, continue to have the same expectations, mm-hmm. or is it time to let this be what it is, accept it for what it is. You had a conversation, I think, on our last podcast about one of the trainers having to had a situation with a person who you said, what was the little quip you did? Accept it or forget it?
Address it or accept it.
Address it or accept it. Yeah. And I kind of the same situation.
Yeah. And then basically the answer that I've found to that and from people smarter than me is if you're unhappy with the way something is going, look and see if there's anything you can change yet. If there's something that you have control over to change, then change it.
Mm-hmm.
If you've exhausted all of that and there's nothing left you have to change, then you have to accept it.
Yeah.
So in terms of like your expectations is, if I'm interacting with another person and it's not going the way that I wanted, I've tried everything within my realm of being able to control it, mm-hmm. and it still hasn't gone there, then you have to accept it.
Yeah.
Like you just have to lower your expectations of what that person is.
Yeah.
So a really kind of bummer example would be like a marriage is... Yeah. You know, if you are constantly frustrated with your partner and you've tried and tried and tried and tried, it's just not changing, then you have to lower your expectations and live with that person the way they are, or you keep your expectations where they're at and you dismiss them from your life and go find something else.
Mm.
So, but it's, I think that's the biggest thing is when you look at, should I lower my expectations? First of all, can you change anything yet?
Yeah.
If there's something within your control to change, address it. Change it first. Try to do that first,
yeah.
before you lower your expectations. That would be my answer.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for example, with your daughter's example, yeah. is, like, being 90% good. If you keep trying everything that you can change, it never really seems to make a dent. But yet your relationship is getting rougher and rougher, and now all of a sudden she doesn't want to talk to you in the evenings,
yeah.
and they're trying to avoid you, then you're like, okay, it's not worth it now.
You've been to my house.
So, but that would be the idea is, like, you try what you can,
yeah.
and if what your efforts and level of involvement is not making a difference and you're just staying frustrated, then it's probably time to lower the expectations. You might be a little unrealistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the things that I look at to myself is like, for example, that guy dragging that jump box.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here mad, and then I immediately try to, but when I recognize that, I try to say to myself is, what can you try yet? Like, is there anything in your control yet that you haven't tried?
Right.
And if there's an answer to that, I try it, like, right away, as fast as I can, because otherwise harboring the anger, knowing there's something that I should be doing, is stupid.
Yeah.
So I'd rather just go try the thing. So maybe I told him, and he said, screw you, you know, what the hell, these boxes are really heavy. I'd have been like, okay, well, that didn't work out well. But I'd still have at least tried it, yeah. you know? So that's what I would say, is if there's something that you feel like you can do, do it.
Yeah.
If you run out of options, then you have to accept it and lower expectations. Mm. Say, for example, a boss. You yeah. can't change your boss like you can change a spouse.
Yeah.
So you just maybe have to lower your expectations and see if in that lowered area you now are happier, but yeah, not at a detriment to your life.
Yeah,
like, and if your life standard didn't go down, but you're happier, then it was probably a good choice.
From that original quote is that, you know, that finding contentment in those lowered expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's having to kind of do some self-talk of, are my expectations realistic? You just hit on it again. And that's hard sometimes as well. Because
it's hard to define.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, is this, am I asking too much?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's another part of it that can be frustrating is all get out.
Yeah.
So, just, like I said, I've got a couple more quotes here.
Yeah.
One is expectations were like fine pottery. The harder you held them, the more likely they were to crack.
Ooh.
Which I like that. That's Brandon Sanderson. This one, it's C.S. Lewis, so it, you know,
it's gotta
I
be
love
good.
C.S. Lewis. Yeah. But we were promised sufferings. They were part of the program. We were even told, "Blessed are those that mourn," and I accepted. I got nothing that I hadn't bargained for. Of course, it is different when the thing happens to oneself, not to others, and in reality, not in imagination.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, when it hits home in our life, it means a lot more.
Exactly. And so, that's just what we were just discussing is kind of reevaluating what your expectation is and if it's mm-hmm. if it's something to continue to prop up and continue to – and just sitting here saying and making that statement is when you talk about somebody not knowing, you know, they may not know what you expect of them, and actually having a high expectation of them may be motivating to them. That's something that we mm-hmm. really haven't even talked about is helping this person say, hey, you know, this is what I expect. This is what
yeah.
I see in you, and this is what I expect.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's the motivation they need.
But I think it's two parts. It's like when I was developing people in different careers, You had to tell them the standard you wanted them to get to.
Right.
You had to give them the education, knowledge, and ability to get to that standard.
Yeah.
You have to do both parts.
Yeah.
So if I sit there and just tell somebody, I want you to be better, but I don't tell them how, that's I'm going to be frustrated because they can't meet that need. And then it's also an error on my side, not their side.
Mm.
But at the same time is, you know, if we give people information, I'm always giving them hints about things, but I'm never really telling them why.
Yeah.
Like, say we want somebody to be better, quote unquote, whatever that is. And we give them hints and hints and hints, and they never take the hint.
Right.
Man, they just never understand. Well, you didn't tell them that there was a thing they should be going towards.
Right.
You're giving them the education, but you didn't give them the target or the marker, or you didn't even tell them what the hell that you're giving them the education for.
Right.
So you have to do both parts. You have to set the standard that you want them to meet and then give them the steps to get there.
Mm.
If you're only doing one or the other and you're frustrated from that, that's your problem.
Yeah.
And you need to address the one you're missing.
Yeah.
So if a wife, for example, is always giving hints to a husband to do something, but you never flat out tell them that you need them to do it, don't be surprised when they don't do it.
So, the black and white.
It's like you get frustrated at somebody. Yeah. You're like, I'm giving you everything you need. They don't know that they needed it. They have no clue that there's this thing they should be going towards.
Yeah.
You have to give them like everything. So give them the standard or the direction and then give them the education. So anything you're frustrated in life, if you have expectations that aren't being met, is make sure you've addressed both of those. If you've addressed both of those and you've maximized everything you can control and nothing has changed and you're just living in frustration, then I believe that's when you accept it and lower it.
There you go.
Lower expectations.
We answered it.
Yeah, hopefully that helped. So thank you guys for listening to this. And we've talked about this before. Is sometimes in these podcasts, it's fun to just hear discussions and bounce ideas.
Right.
So we don't always walk away with a clear-cut answer on things, but we get more clarity of our feelings and thoughts, and it leads us where we want to be.
Yeah, and I think it just, again, anytime I can have a longer-form discussion like this with anybody, mm-hmm. it opens your mind to their ideas and new ideas. As we're sitting here discussing this,
mm-hmm.
it kind of opens up new things. You're like, gosh, I hadn't even thought about that. Aspect of this.
So yeah, so like, new possibility. Yeah. So, cool. Okay, so if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Brutal Iron Gym. Also, if you like the information, you can sign up to become a patron for the podcast and donate $10 or more per month to the podcast, which kind of helps this thing up and running. And then also for that donation, we're going to send you guys training programming, training information, nutrition, mindset, and lifestyle stuff that's kind of exclusive to you. So things you can't find on our social media or another podcast. The idea of this was for $10 a month, you get all the information you need to be successful. So you get a training program, training information, nutrition information, lifestyle stuff for $10 a month. So it's the cheapest personal trainer you ever get. So you can sign up for that directly on the Podbean app. You can send us an email to brutalirongym@gmail.com or you can do a Google search just for Become a Patron Brutal Iron Gym. Cool. Now, if you do like this podcast, please share it with your family and friends. The more people we help, the happier the world will be. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. You can reach us at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. So thank you, Nate, for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
And as always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.